Okay, let's get into Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Gimel, as we continue, and we start the journey of Shmuel HaNavi becoming the man that he did become, and the leader of Klal Yisrael for this period of time, being the last Shofet, and the first Navi. This Perek is about Shmuel recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh. This is Shmuel's Sneh, so to speak, where Shmuel is a Na'ar, and he is with Eli in the Beis HaMikdash. There is no real Nevuah that is prevalent at the time, and he is sleeping. He is sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash. And all of a sudden, Shmuel hears a voice saying, Shmuel! And he runs into Eli, and he says, what do you want? And Eli's like, I didn't call you. You must be dreaming. Go back to sleep. And he goes, happens a third time, and he keeps coming in and saying, Hineni, I'm here, what do you want? And finally, after three times, Eli realizes that it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Shmuel. After all, Shmuel is becoming great. And Eli says, next time, lie down and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, what can I do for you? And that's exactly what Shmuel does. The next line, we'll see the psukim exactly. He says, Shomea. Hashem says, Shmuel, calls him double by his name. And Hashem says, I have to tell you something which is going to happen, which anyone who hears about this event, their ears will start shuddering. And he tells Shmuel exactly what's going to happen to the house of Eli, the tragedy, the curse that he had told Eli in the previous parak that was going to take place because of Eli's son's activities. And Shmuel sleeps and he wakes up. And the next morning, he doesn't want to tell Eli what he heard. And Eli says, Shmuel, tell me exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you, and don't leave anything out, because if you leave anything out, then whatever was told to you is going to happen to you. And Shmuel says, okay. He tells Eli exactly what happens, and Eli accepts it. Eli accepts it, and the parak ends off by saying how Shmuel becomes greater and greater, and his name is known throughout the land. So this is the beginning of the story of Shmuel. It's interesting to keep in mind that Shmuel wrote Sefer Shmuel. So he is writing about himself here, so it's a little difficult. We know Shmuel was a tremendous anav. He didn't take the credit, but he had to write for posterity how he first met HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he had to say everything and the conversations that took place. But it's interesting to keep that in mind as we read this Sefer. Okay, so here we go. Also, just to note, there are different opinions in the Mefarshim how long after Shmuel was given over to the Mishkan, did the story take place? Meaning, right, he was given over after 2 years. So is he still a baby here? He's called a Na'ar. A Na'ar is usually someone who is a little older, even way older. The Torah calls Yeshua ben Nun a Na'ar when he was in his 50s, when he stood at the bottom of Har Sinai, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. But here, it could be, and seems like Shmuel was somewhat older when this story took place. Okay, so Vahanar Shmuel, Mishareses Hashem Lefnei Eli. Shmuel is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's learning the tricks of the trade, being the Levi that he was. Udvar Hashem Haya Yakar Bayamim Ahim. The word of God, meaning Nevuah, was very scarce. There were no Nevi'im. Ein Chazon Nifratz. There were no visions, right? The Targum says, Rashi quotes it, Les Nevuah Galya. Nobody was having Nevuah. This is going to be an amazing contrast, just to jump for a moment to the last pasuk in the Perek. When it says that Shmuel started getting Nevuah, the last pasuk in the Perek says, Vayosef Hashem Lehera O B'Shiloh. Hashem continued making himself known in Shiloh. Ki Nigla Hashem El Shmuel, once he appeared to Shmuel. And Rashi quotes, not only Shmuel, once the Nevuah bottle was open, then other people also. Kind of like it's an overflow effect, a spillover effect. Nobody had any Nevuah, but once Shmuel got Nevuah, so then other Nevi'im started coming because there was the Ruchmias and the Hashpah that Shmuel was having. So now we're back to the beginning. Vayi bayomahu, it was that day, ve'eli shochei bimkomo, Eli is lying, and ve'einav keichelu keihos lo yuchal leros, his eyes were getting dimmed, he could not see. So obviously this could mean literally that he was becoming old. Like we said in the last parak, he was so old that he was shaking when he did the avoda. But also it could mean on a spiritual level. He couldn't see anymore. We're about to have the changing of the guard. Eli is the Baal HaMesorah that got the torch from the previous generation, and he's about to pass it over to Shmuel, his student. V'ner Elokim Terem Yechbeh, the candle of God, Terem Yechbeh, had not gone out yet. So again, what does that mean? It might mean literally the menorah, which was lit all night in the Mishkan, had not gone out yet. But the Radak says it also could refer to Nevuah. Meaning, the candle of Nevuah, of Eli, did not get fully extinguished until Shmuel came onto the scene. And the Radak quotes the Medrash that many are familiar with, that Hashem never ends a generation, ends the leader of a generation's life, before the roots of the next leader have already been planted. Achalo yashkia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shimshol Sol Tzadik Echad, before Hashem causes the son of the one tzaddik to set, who mazriach shimsho shel tzaddik acher, he makes sure that the son of the next tzaddik is starting to rise. Actually, yeshkiyah shimsho shel Moshe, mazriach shimsho shel Yehoshua. Before Moshe died, Yeshua was already there. Ad shelo tishka shimsho shel Eli, hizriach shimsho shel Shmuel. So that's what it means. The candle hadn't set yet, meaning Eli was still there. It was going down, but now it was time for Shmuel to come onto the scene. Ushmuel shochev, and Shmuel is lying beheichal Hashem, asher shama ron alokim. Shmuel is sleeping. So a little difficult, if you look at the psukim, Shmuel is sleeping in the heichal Hashem. He's sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to even sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us, only if you're from Malchus Beis David are you allowed to sit in the Azara. So where is he sleeping here? So he might be sleeping, what probably it means, he was sleeping in an outside room. Not in the Beis HaMikdash. We keep saying the Beis HaMikdash, we mean the Mishkan. He wasn't sleeping mamish in the Mishkan. He was sleeping next to, right, Rashi quotes, Bimkomo Be'ezras HaLeviim HaShomrim Beis HaMikdash. He was sleeping next to the Beis HaMikdash. Amazing diuk, the Radak notes. Where do you see in the pasuk that he wasn't, you shouldn't read it as, Shmuel was sleeping in the Heichal Hashem? There's an asnachta after the word shochev. Ushmuel shochev, you know, asnachta is the strongest break besides the sof pasuk. Asnachta breaks the pasuk. So Shmuel was sleeping. Wherever he was sleeping, he was sleeping. And now this next story is going to take place, Beheichal Hashem, where the Aron is. Amazing diuk of the Radak. So what happens? Here it is. Vayikra Hashem El Shmuel Eimar El Shmuel. Hashem calls to Shmuel Vayomer Hineini. He says, I am here. Hineini. And Vayomer Vayarat El Eli. He runs to Eli. Vayomer Hineini. I'm here. Ki Karasel, you call me. Vayomer, he says, Lo Karasi. Go back to sleep. You're having a bad dream. And again, Vayosef Okrod Shmuel. And Shmuel gets up to Eli. And he says, you call me. He says, Bini, go back to sleep. Three times it happens before Eli finally understands what's happening. But what's fascinating is that Shmuel always starts off his words with the same word. When he first comes to, Hashem says to Shmuel, and he says, Hineini. And then he thinks Eli is talking to him. He runs and says, Hineini, Hineini, Hineini. What does Hineini always mean? So Rashi quotes back in Parshas Vayera, where Avram Avinu, when he's told about the Akedah, and others are told, Avram Avinu, Hineini, Hineini is a Lashon of Anava. I have humility, I am here, I am ready to do whatever you want. The Medrash here tells us, At Motzei, Masha Kasav Bazeh, Kasav Bazeh. What's said by Moshe is said by Shmuel. Zelevi v'zelevi. Zebe Hineini v'zebe Hineini. Moshe by the snat tells Hashem, Hineini. And here, Shmuel says Hineini. Hineini is Mora al Anava. Mora al Anava. There's a beautiful Tanchuma. The Tanchuma tells us that Vayomer Hineini, Hineni l'kehuna, Hineni l'malchus, Hineni l'shachet, Hineni l'hareg. By Moshe. What does that mean? I'm here for kahuna, for malchus to be killed, l'shachet. What does that mean? Hineini means I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do. From my point of view, the true servant of God says, it doesn't matter if you ask me to be the king, or you ask me to die for you. Because from my point of view, I am here. I am in front of you. You are the master. Bein aliyah l'gdula, bein l'shachet v'le'areg, hakol aman kvodo shel Hashem yisparach. That's the lashon of Hineini. But the Be'er Moshe, here, Reb Epstein, goes one step further, where he says, Shmuel says Hineini each time he runs to Eli. You know, if we were woken up three times during the night, and we keep thinking that it's the other person, by the third time we go in, we probably wouldn't have as much patience as we had the first couple of times. We probably, oh yes, what's what? We're annoyed already. Shmuel, each time, three times here, he keeps saying, every time he goes into Eli, Right? He says, hineni, hineni, hineni. It's the same word as hineni. Right? Meaning he had that same humility each time. G'dole hi anava, shebon is gadol Shmuel. The Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer says, the Medrash, the great is the anava, shere karu amaloch shlosha pa'amim, v'yasavar shehu eili. This is all in the Ber Moshe. He was woken up. And yet he has that kavana, and he still is able to have that humble attitude. That's hineni. That's what happens here. He runs three times, and he gets the nevuah. A halacha question is asked by a number of the achronim, and that is, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, it's also alluded to in Sanhedrin, that a navi is not allowed to prophesize b'makom rabo, where his rabbi in prophecy is prophesizing aser b'makom rabo. And that's why Yeshua ben Nun got upset when Eldad and Medad were being misnabe when Moshe Rabbeinu was there. So the Gemara in Megillah asks, how could Chulda, one of the Sheva Nevios, which comes up in Sefer Malachim, how could she get Nevuah in the time that Yirmiyo was the Navi Hadar? Okay, the Gemara gives an answer to that. The question here, though, the Gemara doesn't deal with this, but we could ask, Shmuel, how does Shmuel get Nevuah if Eli's still a Navi? Right, Eli's the Navi, and this is Mamish in the place where Eli is. So how could Shmuel prophesize? So a number of answers given. The Pashtus, the most simple answer, is that, well, Hashem is revealing himself to Shmuel. It's not like Shmuel has such a choice. Shmuel thinks it's Eli. He has no idea. And lest we think that Shmuel is doing this on purpose, we know the Rambam tells us that in order for somebody to be a Navi, they have to prepare themselves, they have to perfect their personalities, they have to separate from people, they have to really be on a high level. Shmuel did nothing to be Zoche specifically. That wasn't his Kavana. He didn't do any of the hachanos to try to get Nevuah, haraya, that he doesn't even think this is Nevuah. He runs to Eli. So that is why it's only usher if I know I'm a Navi, I'm a Neviah, and I know my rabbi's here in Nevuah. But here he didn't even know. And once Eli told him, Pashtus, that's giving him Rishus. Giving him Rishus, then it would be okay. It also might reflect, another answer could be, is that, well, here's the transition. Eli is no longer a Navi. Eli already had his who says Eli got any more Nevuahs after this? Eli was already told by God, your family's going to be cursed. And now, Shmuel is the leader. So it could be that now this parak is the transition parak between Eli and Shmuel. So that is a halachic discussion, how he could get Nevuah, but either way, he gets Nevuah. So what happens? Eli says by the third time, he understands. He understands that this is Hashem talking. What does the pasuk say? Vayomer ineni ki karasali vayaven Eli. Eli understands ki Hashem korei lanar. That it's Hashem. How did Eli know? Maybe it was some other person playing tricks on Shmuel. So the simple interpretation is that there's nobody else in the Mishkan besides him and Shmuel. But the Radak quotes the Eben Ezra who says, well, Eli thinks to himself, well, why didn't I hear it? If somebody loud is calling Shmuel, why didn't I hear it? That's how he knew. Because Nevuah is specifically for a person, that's not a bas kol. So that's how he knew. Levisha Shmuel Levado Hayashomea HaKol, Ve'eli Lo Hayashomea Oso, Yada Eli Ve'Haven Kikol HaNevuah Haya. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mashmia Oso, Lemisha Yirtse. Hashem is Mashmia only to the ones that he wants to hear. So Eli sends him back and says, sleep, and the next time you hear, what does Eli say? V'yamarta daber Hashem. Say, speak Hashem, ki shomea avdecha. Because your servant is listening. Shmuel hears this and he goes and lies down. And he hears it again. And what does he say? Daber, ki shomea avdecha. Slight difference. Eli told him to say, daber Hashem, ki shomea avdecha. He says, daber, he leaves out Shem Hashem. Again, says the Radak, because he has awe. He has Mora. I'm not going to say Shem Hashem for nothing. Even if I know. Maybe I'm not even 100% sure. But even if I'm sure, he's not going to say Shem Hashem. So he says, Daber ki shomea avdecha. This last time, though, maybe because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he would respond, there's a different calling. Vayavo Hashem vayisyatzev, pasuk yud, vayikra kefam befam, Shmuel, Shmuel. He calls him double. He calls him by his name double. The Medrash tells us, you don't have to look in the Medrash, if you look in the Psukim, there are four people in Tanakh who Hashem called by their name double. Three of them in the Torah, one of them in the Navi. Here's the only one in the Navi, Shmuel. Who do we have in the Torah? Abraham. Yaakov. Moshe. And now Shmuel. What's the message of having the name called both at the same time? So, says the Medrash, says the Yalkut Shimoni right here on our Pasuk. Hain ad shelo nidbar imam, vehain misha dibar imam. What's the first answer? They're the same people before and after Hashem spoke to them. They didn't become different people. They didn't let it go to their heads. Avraham. Avraham was the same before he had a special relationship with Hashem. Avraham, he was the same after he had a special relationship. Shmuel was the same humble person before and after. Hain achelo nefnasul agdula, vehain misha nefnasul agdula. Answer number one, the Medrash says. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Elazar the Medrash gives a different answer. Echad lo, ve'echad ledor. One for him, and one for the generations. What does that mean? There's one Shmuel for himself, and one Shmuel for the generations. One Avram for himself, one for the generations. So it might mean that these four figures were figures that their zechuyos and their personality, that imprint, is on the Jewish people forever and ever. So, Shmuel. There's one Shmuel that's here, but there's one element of Shmuel that's going to be taken for Am Yisrael. And there's one element of Moshe, and Avraham, and Yaakov. These were the defining elements. Maybe that's what it means. Echad lo, the echad l'dor, one for the generations. So that is Shmuel. And Shmuel again says, Daber, I'm here, I'm listening. So Hashem says to him, Hinei Aruchi Oseh Davar B'Yisrael, I'm about to do something, Asher Kol Shamo Titzilena Shtei Oznav. Whoever hears about what's going to happen, and when it happens, they're going to start shaking. Rashi says, what event are we talking about? What, Eli's son's dying? Okay, that's terrible, but people have died before. Says Rashi, Lekichas Aron B'Yad Plishtim. When the Aron is taken. Imagine, Klal Yisrael, since they left Mitzrayim, it's been great, basically. They've traveled, obviously 40 years in the desert weren't so great. They all had to die. But they had an Aron, they're going, they come, 14 years, they set up shop, they've had a Mishkan, they've had Shiloh. Do you think anybody in their right mind would have ever thought that the Aron would be stolen, would be taken by the Plishtim? That's crazy. What unheard of. That's what it says here. Titzilenish de Oznav. There's going to be a ringing in their ears. They're not going to believe it, that the Aron is taken. By Yomahu and Shmuel, listen, on this day, I will bring upon Eli what I promised him. Right, it sounds like Shmuel even knew about this already. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I'm going to bring upon Eli what I promised him. I'm going to cut off his family from the kahuna. Why? Pasuk Yud Gimel Ba'avon Asher Yada. Because he knew Ki Makalalim Lahem Banav, that his children curse them. V'lo Ki Abam, and he did not rebuke them. What does that mean? He knew that his children curse them. He heard that his children curse me, Hashem should say. So Rashi and the Radak both say a very unusual concept, but it comes up in a number of places in Rashi, on Chumash, Tikun Sofrim Huzeh. It's kind of euphemistic. It's hard to say in the Navi that, you know, they curse me, Hashem talking. So I'm going to write they curse them, even though it's not really what it means, curse me, because the author didn't want to write. Tikun Sofrim. Says the Maharal, in the Gur Aryeh, in Parshas Vayera, where this comes up. Don't think Tikun Sofrim, what does it literally mean? The author changed it. Chas v'shalom, there was a human author. Chas v'shalom, this is Nevuah, and the Torah, forget it. Tikun Sofrim means that Hashem dictated the Torah, or the Navi, in a way that it could be interpreted as if the author wrote it in a way to give praise to God. Chasva doesn't mean, though, that there was a human being that had any input to it. Tikun Sofrim, that concept, Perek Yud Ches Pasach Chavbeis, in Breishis, says the Gur Aryeh, that's what this concept of Tikun Sofrim means. Ein apirish chas v'sholam shasofer kasav kach b'torah, chalila lomar kach. That's one of the principles of faith. El apirish ha-torah kasva derakabo klapi mala. The Torah wrote it in a way that Sofrim would write it. But it doesn't mean that it was actually written that way. Okay, so this is why, back to the Pasuk, this is why Hashem says to Shmuel, I'm going to bring calamity on the house of Eli, and they will not be able to get a kapara with any karbanos that they bring. Bezevach u'mincha. Why? The Mefarshim point out, mita keneged mita. Their avera was through improper usage of karbanos, so therefore karbanos isn't going to help them. The Gemara tells us, amazingly, Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, that 1,000 years later, there were people that came from the house of Eli, Abaya and Rabbah, that their families were still dying young because of the curse 1,000 years later. But the Gemara tells us there is a way to prevent the curse, to dedicate one's lives to Torah and to Chesed. And that's what Abaya did, and that's what Rabbah did. Abaya dedicated his life to Chesed and to Torah, and therefore he was able to add on 40 years of his life. I saw an unbelievable remez. The Kamotzi Shalom Rav quotes this from one of the Achronim, and that is from the Alamatzeach LeDavid. We know the Gemara tells us that in 6 places in Shas we pass him like Abaya over Rava, and that's abbreviated as Yalkagam. The 6 places that we know, Elamitzias and Gittin and elsewhere in Sanhedrin, Yal Kagam could also, on a deeper level, Yal's from the words Eli. Abaya was from Eli. Kagam Karag Zeras Marbis. He was able to tear up the Gzera Marbis. That's the pasuk in the previous parak. Anyone who lives long, Marbis, will die young. So Abaya, Yal Kagam, Abaya, he was able to rip up the Gzera of Eli through his Torah and through his Chesed. Unbelievable pshat of Yal Kagam. But either way, we say the promise is that even through Karbanos, they will not be able to be saved. In the Musar Nevi'im, he also mentions another ha'ara, and that is, we asked this last time too, why was such a bad punishment? Why such a punishment on Eli? To remove the kahuna because of his kids' averos? So he had the following suggestion. Why did the Levim, in the first place, why were they zoche to merit to become who they were? It used to be the firstborns. Why were the Levim zoche? Because they didn't show favoritism to family. Even though their fellow Am Yisrael, they loved them, but what does Hashem say? Mil Hashem Eli? Who was with me? And they went and they killed the people who had to be killed. They didn't show favoritism to the family. What did Eli do? He didn't rebuke his kids. He showed favoritism. Hashem says, that's exactly why I gave you this and you're ruining it. That's why he had to take it away from Eli and his family. Good. Vayishkap Shmuel out of Boker. Shmuel goes back to sleep. And the next morning, as we read, Eli comes in and forces Shmuel to tell him what he heard. Shmuel does, and Eli responds, Hatov be'inov ya'aseh, which is Tzidduk Hadin. He says, I accept God's judgment. I accept God's decree. It's a gzera, and there's nothing I could do about it. Next pasuk, Vayigdal Shmuel. Shmuel gets older and greater. Vashem haya imo. Hashem was with him. And the last phrase, Velohipil mikol dvarav artsa. Not one of his words fell to the ground. What does that mean? Simple interpretation, Shmuel started saying what things would happen in the future. And they all came true. That's how he became a Navi. The Rambam writes in Ilchus Yesod HaTorah, the way that you know a Navi MS, is that if he says all these things, they're going to come true. And he does. They do come true, every single detail. That's a simple interpretation. But I saw that Bar Moshe has another deeper one. You know why Shmuel became great? He didn't let one of his words go to the ground. He was true to his word. He was careful with his power of speech. He didn't just throw something out of his mouth. V'lo hipil mikol dvarav artsa. Right, not one of his words just like fell out without thinking. That's why he was zoche to become great. And the Navi ends off by saying, Vayeda kol Yisrael, everyone from Dan to Beersheba knew, ki ne'eman Shmuel l'Navi l'Hashem. That Shmuel was a ne'eman, Shmuel was destined on his way to being the great Navi, which he turned out to be. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, we'll continue with the actual occurrences in Shiloh.